You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs with this week's Tehillim podcast. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the Mizmorim that we say during Kabbalat Shabbat, and today I'm going to continue with Mizmor Tzaditet. Mizmor Tzaditet is a Mizmor which talks about the Kedusha, the holiness of Hashem, and the connection between Hashem and those who recognize that Kedusha. The Mizmor can be divided into three parts, and each part, we will see, has a sort of refrain that comes after it. So let's quickly look through the Mizmor first to get a sense of what it is about. Hashem Malach Yegezu Amim Yoshev Kiruvim Tanut Ha'aretz. Hashem Malach, right? Hashem reigns, right? Hashem is the king of the earth, right? This is a theme that we've seen throughout the Mizmorim that we've been looking at recently, the Mizmorim of Kabbalat Shabbat, right? Connected to the idea of Hashem, the king, the creator of the world. Yergezu Amim, the nations of the world should tremble, will tremble before God. Yoshev Kruvim, right? This connects to the first part of the pasuk, right? He, God, who sits upon the Kruvim, we'll get back to that image in a moment, he is the one who reigns. Tanut Ha'aretz, right, that's parallel to Yergezu Amim, right, again, the earth trembles before Hashem. Now this image of Yoshev Kruvim, right, is one which is found in a number of places in Tanakh, right, and the idea is that the Kruvim, which were on top of the Aron, right, which was in first the Mishkan and then the Mikdash, right, which contained within it the Luchot HaBrit, right, that the Kruvim were the throne, so to speak, of Hashem, that Hashem would sit upon the Kruvim. More on that image as we go through the rest of the Mizmor. Hashem B'tzion Gadol, the greatness of Hashem is seen in Tzion, in Yerushalayim, right? Because after all, the Mikdash is the resting place, so to speak, of Hashem, the place where the Aron, which we've just seen, is the throne of Hashem, is situated. V'ram hu al kol ha'amim. And he is above, he is the supreme ruler over all of the Amim. Yodu shimcha gadol v'nora. All should therefore should call out, should praise your great name, Kadosh Hu. Right, so Kadosh Hu is the response to that command that everybody should call out, should praise Hashem's great name. Right, it's almost like a conversation going on. Right, the Mishorer says Yodu Shimcha Gadol V'Nora, and everybody says Kadosh Hu. Right, Hashem is Kadosh. Okay, that is the first part of the Mizmor, right? So it's talking about Hashem being enthroned and the king over the entire world, right? Note that we're talking about Amim, Tanut Ha'aretz, Kol Ha'amim, right? We're talking about the entire world, all of the nations of the earth. The second part starts in Pasuk Dalet, Ve'oz Melech Mishpat Ahev, Ata Konanta Mesharim, Mishpat Utzdaka B'Yakov Ata Asita. Right, so here we're talking about Hashem as king, once again, but the king who is the king who judges the world in Mishpat and Staka, right? He establishes the world according to justice, right? And this is an idea also that we've seen in the previous Mizmorim of Kabbalat Shabbat, but the idea of Hashem as the righteous judge. And here we're specifically talking about Am Yisrael, right? With the reference in Pasuk Dalet to Ustaka bi Yaakov, right? That we're talking here about Yaakov. Yaakov being, of course, a nickname for Yisrael. Pasuk Hey, Romamu Hashem Eloheinu v'ishtachavu lahadom raglav. Right, again, a call that everybody should praise Hashem, and now added on v'ishtachavu lahadom raglav, and should bow down to Hadom Raglav. We'll explain that phrase in a moment. And then everybody responds, like we saw at the end of the first section, Kadoshu, right? That is the response of this request that everybody should call out to Hashem. Hadom Raglav, right, means like the resting place of his feet, kind of like a hassock. And this is a poetic way of referring to the Aron Brit, Habrit. Right? Imagine the image that we saw earlier of the Kruvim being the throne of Hashem. Right? And so the Kruvim are on top of the Aron. Hashem, Kivyachol, is on top of sitting upon the Kruvim, and his feet are upon the Aron. So the Aron becomes Hadom Raglav, the place where his feet rest. Again, more on that image as we learn more about this Mizmor. And the third part of the Mizmor, Pasuk Vav, Moshe v'Aharon b'Ko'anav, u'Shmuel b'Kor Eshimo, Ko'im el Hashem v'hu Ya'anim. Right? Moshe and Aharon, amongst the Kohanim, right? Moshe is considered a Kohen because he also did some of the Avodah in the Mishkan when it was first established. U'Shmuel b'Kor Eshimo, and Shmuel among those who call out in Hashem's names, this perhaps is a way of referring to the Nevi'im. Ko'im el Hashem v'hu ya'anim. They call out to Hashem, right? Moshe, Aharon, and Shmuel, and Hashem answers them. Be'amud anan yidaber aleihem. Hashem speaks to them from an amud anan. Shamru edotav v'chok natan lamo. Right? They keep his chukim, his edot, and his chukim, right? Which Hashem had given to them. The image, the idea of Hashem speaking to his Nevi'im from an Amud Anan, right, is one which we see in a number of places in the Torah, in the Tanakh. It's particularly in the passages in Shmot and Vayikra, which talk about the establishment of the Mishkan. You also have the Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Tetzayin, the beginning of Parshat Acharemot, right, where Hashem says, "Va'al yavo b'chol et el hakodesh mibet la parochet el pnei hakaparot asher al ha'aron v'lo yamut ki be'anan era'e al hakaparot." Right, Hashem here describes himself as appearing to, as revealing himself upon the kaporet, right, the kaporet being the cover of the aron, from within an anan. So on top of the aron, there's this anan in this pasuk, and that is where Hashem, from where Hashem reveals himself. And this, of course, as I said before, is in addition to the many other psukim which talk about an anan being in the Mishkan or above the Mishkan, or before Am Yisrael, right, representing the presence of Hashem. Here it's particularly interesting, this pasuk which I just quoted from Vayikra Tetzayin, because we see once again the idea of Hashem being within an anan, somehow in the vicinity of the aron. Right? We already saw that that the Hashem is the Yoshev Hakruvim, that the aron is Hadom Raglav, and here we have the idea of Hashem speaking from an anan, and we have at least one pasuk where this anan is situated upon the kaporet, right? An idea which, of course, is mentioned in many other types of sources. The Mizmor continues, Hashem Eloheinu ata anitam, and Hashem, you answered them, right? You answered Moshe, Aharon, and Shmuel when they called out to you. El noseh hayita lahem v'nokem ala lilotam. El noseh hayita lahem, you lifted up. You were a God that lifted up. There's a phrase in many other places of Hashem being, Yisa et pnei mishu, right, which basically means he listens to them, right? He heeds their call. Vinokem ala lilotam, and fights against, takes revenge against those who try to do bad things to them. Romemu Hashem Eloheinu v'yishtachavu lahar kodesho, right? This is the third refrain at the end of the last section of the Mizmor, right? Again, praise Hashem and bow down to Him at His holy mountain. Ki kadosh Hashem Eloheinu, right? And then this time the response is because Hashem is our God, is kadosh, is holy. Very generally speaking, what we have in this Mizmor, right, is a Mizmor which is trying to explain the nature of the holiness of Hashem, and what our response to that holiness should be, or how that holiness is reflected in Hashem's relationship to various inhabitants of the world. Right? First, we start very broadly, right, that all the nations of the world, the entire world, tremble before Hashem in His holiness. In the second section, it talks more specifically on a very particular issue, right, that Hashem's holiness is revealed through the fact that he is a righteous judge, right, that he has a certain relationship with the people on the earth, and in through the way that he judges them, right? And the response to that as well is that he is kadoshu, right? That he is holy, and we see this. And then we see the holiness in much more particular context, right? Not all of Am Yisrael, but particularly specific, important people within Am Yisrael, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, who had this very special relationship with Hashem, that they would call out to Hashem and Hashem would answer their prayers. And in that way, Hashem would help them, and presumably Am Yisrael, against their enemies. And this somehow shows, again, the relationship of Hashem, who was Kadosh, and the inhabitants of the world. And that's very generally speaking. And perhaps this mizmor should, like some of the other mizmorim that we've seen, be understood in the context of coming towards the Mikdash, right? We have many images here from the Mikdash of the Aron, the Yoshev Keruvim, Har Kodesh, right? So as one approaches Hashem's holy bayit, right? So it's kind of like a way of speaking of the holiness of Hashem. There's a few allusions within this mizmor, which I think strengthen the idea that the mizmor is trying to put forth here. Helps us understand a little bit better what the mizmor is talking about, or certainly, to kind of turn it around, if we understand these images fully, right, understand what types of things these images are talking about, we can better appreciate what the mizmor is trying to say. What's interesting is that some of these interesting images that we've seen, right, that Hashem is Yoshev HaKruvim, that the Aron is Hadom Raglav, and further down that Hashem, that Moshe Aharon and Shmuel call out to Hashem and they answer him, right? These ideas, again, in the context of the Mishkan and of the Kedusha of Hashem, are ideas which appear together in other places. Oh, I should also add to that, v'nokem al lilotam, right? That somehow the prayers of Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel, and that are answered by Hashem, have to do with fighting off the enemies of Am Yisrael. Right? These are ideas that have come together in other places before in Tanakh, and I think that understanding those other contexts can help understand the ideas in this mizmor as well. The most obvious place where we see these ideas coming together is in the story that is found in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Dalet, where shortly after Shmuel becomes a Navi, right? We recall he is born to Chana. He's Chana's son, who interestingly is also known for her prayer, right? As we see that Shmuel is here. She's born, and he is brought to the Mishkan in Shiloh. And very shortly thereafter, there's a battle in Perek Dalet, which doesn't go all that well. Right? And we see in that story that the beginning of the story says, Vayhi Dvar Shmuel l'chol Yisrael. So Shmuel has already been established as some sort of Navi, although we don't know much about his career as a Navi just yet, other than the stories of the beginning of his Nevuah in the Mishkan. Vayetze Yisrael likrat plishtim la'milchama, vayachanu al ha'even ha'ezer u'plishtim chanu ba'afek. Right, there's a battle looming between Yisrael and the plishtim. And the plishtim are setting themselves up for battle. And it says, "Vayaku b'maracha b'sadeh ka'arba'at alafim ish." Right, Bnei Israel lose terribly in this battle. "Vayavo ha'am el ha'machaneh, vayomru zikne Israel, lama nagafanu Hashem hayom lifnei plishdim? Nikcha eleinu mishilo et aron brit Hashem, vayavo b'kirbenu, vayashiyenu mikafoivenu. Vayishlach ha'am shilo, vayisu misham et aron brit Hashem tzvaot yoshev ha'keruvim. Visham shnei v'nei eli im aron brit ha'elohim, chofni ufinchas." Right, so Bnei Israel are losing terribly. And they said, why has this happened to us? Why is Hashem not letting us win this battle? Why are we losing so miserably? So they said, aha, this is what we should do. We should go and take the Aron from Shiloh and bring it into the battle with us, right? And that way Hashem will help us beat our enemies, right? If we bring the Aron into the battle. And they go and they bring the Aron from Shiloh. And importantly for our purposes, we should note that it says, the Aron is referred to as Aron Berit Hashem Yoshev HaKeruvim. And then it says right after that that Chofni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli, were there with the Aaron, right? So anyone who's read the beginning of Sefer Shmuel knows that that's not a good omen, right? Because Chofni and Pinchas were corrupted, and they completely used all of the things in the Mishkan for their own selfish purposes, right? So the fact that they are with the Aaron does not foretell of good things that are going to happen with this story. Vayhi kivo Aron brit Hashem el hamachaneh vayariu kol Yisrael tshura gdola v'tehom ha'aretz. Right, they bring in the Aron and there's a big brouhaha and the plishtim are terrified. Oh my goodness, what's this new weapon that Am Yisrael have brought? And then they go out to battle. Right, and despite the fact that they brought the Aron and despite the fact that the plishtim are terrified of the Aron, pasuk tet. The plishtim realize that they have to fight hard. Hitchazku v'yula nashim plishtim pen ta'avdu le'ivrim kasher avdu lachem v'yitem la'nashim v'nilchamtem v'yilachamu plishtim v'yinagef Yisrael v'yayinusu ish le'olav v'tiha makah ha'gdola me'od. Right? So the plishtim fight hard and Bnei Israel lose miserably once again. Many people die. Chofni and Pinchas are killed and the Aron is taken away by the plishtim. Right, exact opposite of what Bnei Israel thought was going to happen if they brought the Aron into their midst. Right, so of course the question looming over everybody's head is what went wrong? Right, what was wrong with this battle plan? Right, why did this strategy not work? And I think those of us who understand Sefer Shmuel and have been reading up until this point realize it's because their whole theology, their whole religiosity is completely skewed. Right, Shiloh is completely corrupt. Chofni and Pinchas in particular are completely corrupted, right? And they use the Aron as kind of like a magical tool, right? If we want to drag God into the battle to win the battle for us, well, all we have to do is bring his box, right? Bring his throne, right? He's the Yoshev HaKruvim, and that way we kind of force God to come into the battle, and then he'll have to fight for us, and he'll win the battles for us, right? But we know that that's not the way it works, because you can't be corrupt and use the Mishkan and the Aron and the Korbanot and everything else that was going on in Shiloh for all the wrong, corrupt purposes, and then kind of as if bring Hashem into the battle by bringing in the Aron and assume that that's going to do the trick, right? That's not the way that it works, right? And that was the problem here we see in the book of Yirmiyahu, right? Yirmiyahu in Perek Zayin makes reference to this battle, right? And the context in which he makes reference to this battle is very telling, right? He, beginning of Perek Zayin, Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to go, Amod b'shar beit Hashem, v'karata sham, right? Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, stand at the shar of the Beit HaMikdash. And then he says, Ko amar Hashem tzvaot Elohei Yisrael, heitivu darchechem u'ma'alelechem, if you improve your ways, I will allow you to remain here in this place. Al tiftechu lachem el divrei hasheker leimor heichal Hashem, heichal Hashem, heichal Hashem hema. Don't listen to the words of the nevi'ei sheker who are saying, heichal Hashem, it's the house of Hashem. Meaning, right, what were the nevi'ei sheker saying? Right, and this is an idea that repeats itself in other parts of Sefer Yirmiyahu. They were saying, no, Hashem, you could do what you want because Hashem is never going to destroy his own his own home, his own bayit, right? The Beit HaMikdash will never be destroyed. Don't listen to that sourpuss Yirmiyahu, right, who's saying that if you don't shape up, Hashem is going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, right? That will never happen. Hashem will never destroy his own house, right? Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem Heima. It's the Bayit of Hashem. And Yirmiyahu says, nonsense. Hashem will, because the Beit HaMikdash is meaningless if it's corrupt, if it becomes a ma'arat paritzim, if it becomes a place where all sorts of corrupt people come to bring a korban so that they can feel better about themselves, right? So Yirmiyahu is basically saying that the Beit HaMikdash itself is meaningless unless it's used properly, unless it is really a makom of kedusha, really a place where Hashem's shechina can be. And to drive this point home, he says in pasuk yud bet, ki lechuna el mekomi asher b'shilo, asher shikanti shemisham barishona, ruet asher asiti lo mipnei ra'at ami Yisrael. Right? You don't believe me? Yirmiyahu says, go look what Hashem did to his place, meaning his mishkan that was in Shiloh. Right, meaning what? That he destroyed Shiloh. Right, that's our story in Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalet. Despite the fact that it was his hechal, it was his bayit. Right, so don't think that that Hashem wouldn't destroy his own hechal if you're not doing the right thing. Right, so that's really what our story in Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalet is about. Right, that they thought that they can kind of like use the mikdash, the mishkan, for their purposes. Right, and that clearly was not the case. The antidote to Shmuel Aleph Perek Dalid is Shmuel Aleph Perek Zayin, where once again, Bnei Israel are facing a battle with the Plishtim. Only this time, they are kind of taught by Shmuel how to do it right, and he gathers everybody together in Mitzpeh, and he says that they have to do. Real tshuva, right? And then when they do real tshuva, he brings a korban and he cries out to Hashem, and Hashem answers him, and then the battle is won. All right, and Bnei Yisrael say to him, don't stop calling out to Hashem for us, right? Because we need that in order to win the battle, right? And that battle they do win. And so basically these two stories, which are parallel in many ways, which I don't have time to show you right now, show how different these two battles were, right? Where in one, the Aron was used in this deluded way, right? That if you drag, you can drag Hashem into a battle, even if you have no reason. There's no reason that Hashem would come, meaning that you don't deserve for Hashem to help you. Whereas the second battle takes place where Bnei Israel do win the battle, and there Shmuel, through his prayers, basically show Bnei Israel how to really bring Hashem into the battle with them. So here in these two prakim in Shmuel Aleph, you have all of these images that we were talking about from our Mizmor coming together, right? You have the Hashem as Yoshev HaKruvim, you have the Aron as the Hadom Raglav, right? That basically Hashem is his Shechina is, you know, associated with the Aron and with the Kruvim, and you have of course Shmuel being the one who prays and is answered, all coming together in one place. Now these ideas, both in the negative aspect and the positive aspect, show up in other places in the Tanakh as well, right? So for example, with the negative aspect, you see this in Megillat Eicha, right? Just another idea where this image shows up. In Perek Bet, Echa Ya'iv Be'apo Adonai et Batzion, Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz Tiferet Yisrael, Velo Zachar Hadom Raglav Biyom Apo. Right? Hashem did not remember Hadom Raglav, right? His, again, that's the Aron, on the day of his anger. Right? On the day that, this is basically what Yirmiyahu is foretelling, on the day that, right, and it's no coincidence, right, that the book of Yirmiyahu, we are told, was written by, sorry, the book of Echa was written by Yirmiyahu, right? Here in this pasuk from Echa, it's basically saying that on the day of Hashem's anger, when Hashem was punishing Bnei Israel, when the Mikdash and Yerushalayim were being destroyed, Hashem didn't think about the fact that the Aron was Hadom Raglav, right? That got destroyed with everything else because, again, that thing itself, the Aron, was meaningless if it had been misused, if it wasn't kadosh in the way that it was meant to be. a more positive context is in Mizmor Tehillim Kuf Lamed Bet, right, which talks about going to the Beit HaMikdash to serve Hashem. And there it says, Pasuk Zayin, Navoa Lemishkinotav, Nishtachavel Lahadom Raglav. Right here, so in a positive context of going and properly worshiping Hashem, it talks about bowing down Lahadom Raglav, right, which is like what we saw in our Mizmor. One last place where we see an image from our Mizmor is later on in the book of Yirmiyahu, where Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu that he has given up on Am Yisrael, right? That there's no point even in praying for them anymore, right? An idea which, by the way, shows up right after Yirmiyahu's reference to Shiloh, which we saw in Perek Zayin, right? So shortly thereafter, Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, "Va'ata al titpalel ba'adah amazeh, va'al tisa ba'adam rinau tefila, va'al tifgabi, ki eneni shomea otach." Right? Don't bother praying anymore because they're a lost case. Right? There's no way that they are ever going to truly return to me. Right? I've given up on that, and therefore there's no point in praying for them. Hashem returns to this idea later on at in the beginning of Perek Tetvav, where he says, "Vayomer Hashem elai." Right? Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, "Im ya'amod Moshe u'Shmuel lefanai, ein nafshi el ha'am hazeh, shalach me'al panai v'yitzeu." Right? Even if Moshe and Shmuel would come and pray to me, right, I wouldn't listen to them at this point. Right? Again, the idea being that praying only works, right, if the people are really being brought back to Hashem. But Hashem no longer feels that that is going to happen without Bnei Israel being punished. And therefore, even if Moshe and Shmuel, the famous prayers, the ones whose prayers are always answered, right, as we see in our Mizmor, even if they were to come, right, I wouldn't answer the prayers, because the prayers, like the Aron, right, are meaningless unless there's a true connection, a true recognition of the Kedusha of Hashem, and a true return to Hashem. Right, so coming back to our Mizmor Tzaditet, right, understanding these images, right, the role of Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel as the prayers, right, the ones who call out to Hashem and Hashem answers, and thereby Hashem defeats the enemies of Am Yisrael, right, that image, together with the image of Hashem as the Yoshev HaKruvim, whose legs rest upon Hadom Raglav, right, the Aaron. And all these images coming together, once we understand them better, right, through these other sources which we just looked at, we understand much better the message of Tehillim Tzaditet. Right? Here, once again, we have people perhaps coming towards the Beit HaMikdash, coming to serve Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash. And once again, as we've seen in some other Mizmorim, it's a little bit of, coming to the Beit HaMikdash 101, or Kedushat Hashem 101, right? Let us teach you the proper way of recognizing the Kedusha Hashem, of understanding the Kedusha Hashem. And it's not, right, as we saw in those other stories, where either these things, the Mikdash, the Aron, etc., are, you know, these magical vessels that we use to our purpose, or that we can come to the Mikdash and do terrible things and use the Mikdash as a way of magically getting ourselves pardoned or just simply making ourselves feel better, but rather these things have to be done, used, approached in the context of a true recognition of the Kedusha of Hashem and a true understanding of the proper relationship between the Kedusha of Hashem and of Hashem and the people who recognize his Kedusha. Shabbat shalom u'mevarach.